18, if you'll go there with me, I'm going to try to preach with God's help. This may seem a little more like teaching today, but that's all right. Amen. That's what God has laid on my heart. And just want to really just deliver this to the church and want to help you and be an encouragement to you this morning. Amen. To just help us today. Amen. Proverbs chapter 18. And Brother Shane is going to speak for us tonight. Amen. I just asked him to speak a while back. I knew we'd be on vacation. And I appreciate Brother Glenn covering on Wednesday. But I often try to explain to people, when you go on vacation, it ain't on vacation when you got to preach twice on Sunday. Because you find yourself on Thursday and Wednesday, you find yourself studying for hours at a time. So I do, Brother Shane's going to preach for us tonight, help me out a little bit. And just appreciate the church and just allowing us to get away a little bit this week. And just pray for us. Amen. That God will just help the church be what it needs to be. And I'll be the pastor I need to be. Amen. Proverbs 18 and 14. One verse of Scripture, and I have quoted this verse over the years, but I've never taken it and just preached from it. And I'm sure many of you know this verse fairly well as well. And we look at this, and let's just look at this verse together. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? I'm going to read it again. The spirit of a man, listen to these words, listen to how it's phrased and what is being said. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? I want you to get that. And I want to preach to you today with God's help for a few moments on the causes and the cure and the cures of a wounded spirit. The causes and the cures of a wounded spirit. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You in prayer today. We do love You and thank You and love You for all that You do for us, God. You are so faithful and true to us. And we just want to be faithful to You today, God, and just deliver Your Word to the best of our abilities. We love You today, God. Help somebody here today that may have a wounded spirit. Let them understand that You can heal them today. God, not only physical healing, God, thank God for that. We can endure that, Lord Jesus. But I would that You touch today and that You would heal in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. We look at this verse and understand today that basically what it is saying, when you were just to describe it very quickly, is that the strong spirit of man, a man that has a healthy spirit, can endure a physical sickness or infirmities there. You look at that, it means something that is of the physical nature. It could be something that is mental, something that is physical. But then it talks about the second part of that verse, and we'll go into this a little deeper, how a man with a wounded spirit, who can bear it? We look at these words, and all of us can understand and have seen this example, that I have in my life and met men who were eat up with the disease, yet everything about their spiritual integrity, everything about them spiritually, it seemed that they still had joy, seemed that they still had integrity to the place that they said, look, I'm trusting God. And look, they didn't seem, even though they had maybe shed tears occasionally, they still, spiritually, they were able to be sustained in their infirmity. But likewise, on the other side of that, I've also met men who were healthy physically. Who have met them, but even though they were healthy physically, they had been wounded spiritually. And when I look at them, they had no joy. They had no peace. They had no... And to the place where they were standing firm, I looked at them and they were in worse shape than the sick man that I met in a hospital bed. We look at this today and I want to talk to us for a few moments on how can we endure this life and infirmities and sickness and battles and trials and family conflict and depressions, all these different things. And because it is inevitable today that every man in this room, every man and woman, if you live long enough, you will sooner or later, you will have some kind of infirmity to bear. There will be something in your life that will come into your life that you can't explain it, you don't understand it, but it is there and it affects you and you know it is there. And today we would understand that this could be physical infirmities, emotional infirmities, mental infirmities, whatever it is of whatever nature it is. In a fallen world filled with fallen creatures, it is going to happen. You will find yourself in dark valleys. You will find yourself in deep waters. You will find yourself with sickness, pain, hurt, and betrayal. It will happen in this life. Everybody know what I'm talking about. I ain't making that up, Emma. It's going to happen in this life. Now, with this said today, because I've often asked God for direction in this, because I have often counseled lots of people who were sick, abused, maybe family hurt, whatever it was, I've often counseled people and told them, look, you need to trust God. You need to find some spiritual, something somewhere, some strength somewhere where you need to trust God, and God is going to see you through that situation. But I often found myself riding down the road away from a hospital or away from a house sometimes. And I've often found myself throughout my ministry asking myself the same question. Lord, I'm not the one that's laying in that bed. I'm not the one that's had that happen to me from a mother or father or child or who it is. Lord, I trust that the advice that I give them, that when it comes to my own life, if it was to happen to me, God, give me the strength to stand myself. Now, I asked myself that question. And I've had an experience one time where I remember my grandfather, he passed away with pancreatic cancer. And I remember going there every day after work. I would try my best to go there. I'd sit beside that chair. And if you've ever dealt with anybody that's had pancreatic cancer, I mean, it's a bad form of cancer. It really is. A lot of pain that is involved in different things. I remember several times talking to Granddaddy. We'd get that Bible out and I would read to him. And he would sometimes have questions and sometimes didn't understand it all. But I remember praying with him several times and thinking to myself as I would leave that house, could you imagine being that person that got the diagnosis? God, I want to know that I'll be able to stand when that hour came. So what this message is, it is an extension of those thoughts, and it's basically practical advice that I believe will not only help me, that I help you if something like this takes place in your life. One of the biggest battles that we have with this is trying to strike a great balance between human sorrow and what we would consider human endurance. We've got to strike that balance somewhere, because we've got to be careful that we don't want our sorrow to become a sin. I want to say that again. You don't want your sorrow to become a sin. God knows that we're going to sorrow. God knows that you're going to shed tears. God knows that. But we do not sorrow as those that do not have hope. We read that in the Bible and understand that we have blessed hope when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. On one side of the spectrum, one of the pitfalls that we've got to be careful of, I would call this condemnation. We have to be careful that we don't ungracefully condemn those who are going through trials and going through battles. You've got to be careful with that. I've got to be careful with that. That we don't look at somebody and say, look, just suck it up and get going. Tie up your bootstraps. Yes, there's times that's needed. Maybe in certain private settings. But if we get to the place that we're ungraceful, we're unlike God. Hello? If you're ungraceful, you're unlike God. I've seen people over the years, just that militant holiness. And what I say by that is, boy, get over it. Can you give me some advice down here in my valley is what I'm saying. Can you be the elder eagle who talks to the younger eagle? Tell me how to fly a little bit is what I'm saying. We've got to be careful that we don't get ungraceful in our dealings and make people feel condemned over it. But yet there's the other end and the other pitfall where we're trying to avoid condemning them, but yet we end up condoning it. Somebody say, you, anybody else ever had this trouble before? Oh, I'm telling you, you don't want to condemn them, but yet there's got to be enough endurance in them. But you got to let them know, look, I can't condone this. But we also cannot have weak and spineless approach to this that allows waves of depression and sorrow to get down on a person to where they drown in that. So you say, Brother Derek, what's the answer? Well, you don't want to condemn them, but yet you don't want to condone it. I'll tell you what the answer is. You've got to have biblical correction in it, a biblical mindset. We must, with the Word of God, the grace of Christ, and the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost help shed truth and correct this area in every one of our lives. Now, my friend, this is what's so beautiful about the Bible. It shows us, we talked about it this morning, it shows us the flaws and the battles and the internal struggles of men and women in Scripture, that we are given so many beautiful examples. And that's what we're going to talk about just a little bit today. Number one today, let's look at what it is to to have a sound spirit. What it is to have a spirit that will sustain you in your infirmities. Now, we've all heard of stories of the patience and the stern endurance of natural men throughout the ages. Men who were not even saved, that were able to endure great battles and able to do great feats and do great things. And we've admired them. Maybe it was a military expedition. Maybe it was something where a man did this, went around the world, did whatever it was, swam for X amount of miles, or did this for X amount of miles. We look at that and we look at their endurance, and we can sit there and say, man, what men of integrity and what men of strength and the strength of mind. When we look at that, when you are a Christian today, the strength of mind by which a Christian man or woman are able to bear their infirmities are higher than the natural man. Church, well, I'm going to say this today. We need some greater examples in our church world. I have seen it depreciate. Now, I'm not being hard on this. I have seen younger and even older who go through trials of life and do not do it with integrity. And you find them so... I've watched people go through depression for years. And look, it gets to a place where their sorrow has gotten to the place where they have no joy, they have no peace. That is never the will of God. Hear me, that's never the will of God for you to get there and stay there. It's never the will of God for you not to understand your Christian hope and come out of that valley. No, we ought to be men to have endurance and women to have endurance. Now look, we may not understand everything. The battle may be great. The heat is turned on. But we know that God has His hand on the thermostat, no matter how high the temperature gets. And even though there may be tears, even though you may not understand why, you stand there and say, my Redeemer liveth. And that is what is needed in our church where once again is testimonies of endurance. Now I say this today, trembling. Because who knows, I may be the one in the next month, 2 or year, whatever it is, that gets the report. And I'm teaching this to you to begin to pray about it. What a whole spirit is that will sustain your infirmities. Number one, it is a spirit that is worked in us by the Holy Ghost. A renewed spirit. In Bible, we understand this. If you would bear your trouble without complaining, if you would sustain your burden without fainting, if you would mount up on the wings of eagles, if you would run without weariness, number one, ye must be born again. You cannot expect a person to have Christian maturity and Christian endurance if they're not born again. Number one, ye must be born again. You must be living in union with Him by the life that He implants within you. It's not my life, but it's Christ. It's not my strength, but it's His. It's not my endurance, but it's His. You've got to have a renewed spirit. I wonder sometimes of people say that they get saved and born again, and they have no endurance when it comes to the will of God, because I'm telling you that God works in us an endurance, a pinnacle of faith that will say, look, no matter what happens to me, I know He's real. I know He's true. I know He's faithful. And God will sit there, if you let the Holy Ghost, even this morning, He'll put a grit in your crawl. He'll give you strength that you can climb the mountain and walk through the valley and cross the rivers. That is what God wants in us. Something happens a little bit financially. Oh, God has just let me down. There's some things that are not even worthy of your complaints. Hear me. Now you said, Brother Deck, you're being hard. No, because I've been a complainer before. And if we ain't careful now, you find yourself and you get to praying, and the Holy Ghost will come by and say, what are you complaining about? Are you one that's too holy to be despised? No, sir. Look, I was despised and rejected of men. I was let down at times. We understand that if it happened to our Master, we can expect no less for us. We have to understand we have to endure through these things. I do not believe that anything but that which is divine will stand the wear and tear of this world's temptations. You can't do it in your natural strength. You can't do it because you're smart enough. You can't do it because you're punctual. You can't do it. You've got to do it because of Him and His holiness and His righteousness and His strength. It's that I glean my help from, and I can stand if God will help me through the darkest nights and the longest battles, because that's the will of God. With this said, a second point I want to make about the spirit in a man that is whole It has to not only be a man that is born again and shed inside of him a renewed spirit, but also a spirit cleansed and the precious blood of Jesus, a blood-washed spirit. The believer who is resting in God will say, what does it matter in this life if I have infirmities? My sin is forgiven and I'm on my way to heaven. If I'm sick but I'm saved, I can still rejoice. If I sit there and been talked about but yet been accepted by Him, what does it matter? I've been washed in the blood. If you're here today and you've had a wounded spirit, or you had an infirmity in your life, you've had battles you don't understand, you can say, look, I don't understand it all. Yes, the symptoms are here, but I do know this. My Redeemer lives. I'm washed in the blood. I'm on my way to heaven. Look, I'm sick, but I'm saved. I'm talked about, but I'm accepted. I'm not rejected of Him. And that is something that should keep you going every day of your life. Why don't we get comfortable with that anymore? We want the blood of Jesus and everything else before we'll trust Him. We want God, you, Lord, I bless me, Lord. If you make sure everything's just okay out here, Lord, then I'm going to rejoice in your blood. Then I'm going to rejoice in salvation. No, it's saying this, let them take my houses and land. Let something happen to my family. I'm going to rejoice in this fact I'm blood washed. I'm born again. It's a wonderful thing to know today. No matter what happens in this world, you can rejoice at being washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what Charles Spurgeon said. He said this, take my sin away and give me a spirit washed in the fountain filled with blood, and I can go through anything and everything with the Lord being my helper. Lord, I'm forgiven and I can rejoice in that. Third thing is this, a spirit that exercises itself daily and growing in its confidence in God. Follow me for a moment. The spirit that will sustain an infirmity is not a spirit of doubt and fear and mistrust. There is no power in such a spirit. You've got to make sure you have confidence in the God of heaven. And I'm telling you, if you don't have this confidence and trust in the power of God, it's like having a body without bones or sinew or muscle. It will not stand, and it's not what it is. It's not really a body. Hear me today, my friend. You're saved today. You've got to have a confidence in God that He can do anything and He can bring you through anything and He can provide anything. How many would say today, God, help me to trust You more and rejoice in that, that I know today that I can grow in Your grace and believe in You. Strength lies in believing. It's there. He who can trust can work. A lot of times we do very little for God is because we have very little trust. Amen. I'm going to preach to you here. Anytime a chainsaw gets in the vine, I'm going to find out why it's there. We've got to get it loose. The reason we don't get on the mission field is because we don't believe God can provide. The reason we don't get on the streets and God help us all is because we don't think God can protect. I've heard people say, oh, don't go down there. You'll die. If God wants me down there, I'll go. Oh, we have a mentality. Lord, You'll bring them into church. God, I know, Lord, it's Your will. They're just going to get saved. No, sir. A strong spirit. It's a spirit of confidence in God. That no matter, it don't matter about this world. I believe Him. If you can trust Him, then you can work. He who can trust can suffer. The spirit that can sustain a man in his infirmity is a spirit that can say, though He slay me, yet I will trust Him. Come what may, I will not doubt my God. I am strong and I am steadfast in His sovereignty, in His power. I trust God. See, this is a message of spiritual maturity. I've watched that subject disappear in the Holiness Church. I've preached this countryside. I've seen it. Well, we have enough formality. Where's our trust? I enjoyed Brother Glenn gave me a little book I read about the inception of the ministry that him and Sister Hilda had. You see trust. When I read behind my grandfather, you see trust. When you read behind men of yesterday and even men of today, you see trust. That is what defines us as Christians. Not how much we have in our storehouse, but how much we have in His house. How much we have in His love and His goals, His agenda, His will. We've got to have a confidence in Him. And if you have an infirmity, but you have a confidence in God, you can be sustained. Another point I want to make is this. A spirit that is perfectly consecrated
can be sustained in his infirmity. A man who is free from all secondary motives. Do you realize how many secondary motives you and I have? Let me just give you. I can list them all day, but we're not going to take a lot of time. But a man says, if he's sick, how can I glorify God in my sickness? Nowadays, people say, I'm sick. What can I get from the government? Come on. Now, I condemn and help. Thank God for programs that do help us when we're down. But I heard this before. A woman that got prayed for. Preacher said she was in a wheelchair. Do you want to be healed? She said, no, I do not. Why? She said, I'd lose my check. I heard that. Preacher told the story. True story. I look at that and notice this. That it's something we look at and must realize. That there's a mentality that must be defeated. If I'm sick, how can I glorify Him upon my bed? If I'm in my health, I wonder how can I glorify Him in my strength? If I'm rich, how can I glorify Him with my possessions? If I'm poor, then how can I take advantage of my poverty? Maybe to reach somebody. Every state of mind you're in. Every situation you're in. No secondary motives. It's this. How can I glorify God? How can I glorify God? How can I glorify God? How can I glorify God in abundant life? How can I glorify God at my job? How can I glorify God in Sunday school? How can I glorify God on Saturday? How can I glorify Him? That is a spirit that is healthy. With this said, now that I've labeled a healthy spirit, and you always wish you see more of those, let's talk about the wounded spirit. We look at this, we look at a wounded spirit. And it says, who can bear it? It means when somebody is wounded spiritually, even though they said when they're healthy spiritually, it will sustain them in infirmities. But when they're wounded spiritually, there's no man that can bear it. It will break you down. It'll rob you of peace. It'll rob you of joy. Notice this, number one, different kinds of wounds that are within the spirit. Number one today, it is those that are wounded from loss and disappointment. There are wounds of loss that we understand today. That are sad, that are real. I'm telling you, you often hear different stories of men and women who suffered loss. But I want to talk to you today. There is an answer for your wounded spirit. And we talk about wounded spirits before. You know, it changes through life. You know, when you're a teenager, your heart gets broken. I've got a wounded spirit. You'll get over it. You'll find out you'll get over it. If you're here today and you're going through it, you're going to make it. You know, you get even younger. I noticed Chloe. My wife will say, you hurt her heart. And she's crying over there. You know, and the idea is it's kind of funny, you know. Chloe wants to just run outside. I'm like, no, Chloe, you can't get hit by a car. And she'll start crying. Oh. She just wants to go outside and play. Holly said, oh, you hurt her heart. And she's there crying. As you go through life, it changes. Do you understand? In your 20s and 30s, you're going through life. Different things. You find disappointments and loss at different periods of your life. But understand this. There are some that are disappointed by love. Look, that's sad, but you can't endure that with God's help. We understand some are disappointed because of failed ambitions. This is sad, but you can't endure it. Sometimes we understand that even the death of a loved one, this is tragic and we all feel the sorrow and it hurts us and we mourn. But again, with God's help, you can't endure that and you can make it through. I'm telling you, but sometimes if you don't go through it right, you won't come out of it right, and you'll find yourself so wounded that nobody can bear it and you cannot bear it. I look at this and I want you to understand some things here, that you can make it through anything with God's help. We look at this and we must understand that when we lose somebody like a loved one, you can still rejoice at their memory and shed tears. But that person must never become your God or your idol. Yes, it's sad when we have loved ones that die, and grandparents and husbands and wives or children, whatever it was. But I'm telling you, when somebody dies or when somebody hurts you or somebody disappoints you, you are never to give that person in your life the same status as the God of your life. Yes, it's all right to sorrow and shed tears. But you've got to keep on serving the Lord. You've got to keep on evangelizing. You've got to keep on obeying the Great Commission. You've got to keep on being faithful. You've got to keep on going to church. You've got to keep on reading your Bible. You've got to keep on praying. You can never let an individual, if they're here or not here, become a god or an idol unto you. I was on the pier the other morning with my father. Nags Head Pier. It was 5 something in the morning. We'll go watch the sunrise. Nobody's out there. It's just us. And I looked at that pier and I looked at it and I said, You know, my dad's father just passed away the last few months. He had Alzheimer's for years. I said, you remember when we used to go out there fishing with Granddad? And the next thing, unexpected to me, Dad's over there bawling. You don't like to see your dad cry. And you know, you start crying. And I hugged him. And he said, I love thinking about him. I love it. It's not wrong thinking about him. It's not wrong crying. It's all right. But my dad's still got to get up to work and go to work on Monday morning. My dad still's got to be a father and a grandfather. We must still serve the Lord. You've got to get that in your mind today. If something would happen and my wife would leave me or vice versa, I'd leave her, God forbid. She's still got to serve Jesus, or I've still got to serve Jesus. Yes, I'm wounded. Yes, I'm hurt. But I've got to go forward in life and I cannot stay there. I read this before a preacher stood up one morning and made this statement without knowing why. He said, verily, I perceive that children have become some of your idols. When he said that, little did that preacher know that there was a woman sitting there who had been wearing black clothes for years because she had lost a child and she was mad at God. And she said, I'll wear mourner's clothes the rest of my life. When he said that, he had no clue that she was there. And she began to pray and cry because she had held something against God. That child, even though she loved him dearly, was never to become her idol or her God. No, sir, that was her child. And that's where that child's supposed to be. Love them and take care of them, but don't make your children your idol. I've met people before. They get so upset about their children, they quit being faithful to God. God doesn't want that. He wants us to be effective for Him. A second wound we're going to look at here is wounded by the cruelty of men. We all know of story in cases of abuse, neglect, verbal, lack of love, whatever it is. Some have been wounded by cruelty of men, the unkindness of children, the ingratitude of those that we have been vulnerable to. And look, as Christians, this happens frequently. Because Christians are the most vulnerable and accessible people in this world. I'm called to love my neighbor. And I find myself at times loving people that I know may do me wrong. But I'm called to do that and open up to them and help them if at all possible. I ain't saying go do nothing stupid. As far as when you're trying to help somebody and you know that person's really needing help, you open yourself to them. You open your heart to them. More than one time in ministry, I've had to find an altar somewhere and bawl my eyes out because I spent 6, 7, 8 months trying to dig somebody out of a hole and the sins that they love with the help of God. I'm telling you, church, there's times in this life, this terrible wounding, when you're wounded by men, it hurts us. Again, though, we must not and cannot allow this to go too far. Are we above being despised and rejected like Jesus? No, we're not. Don Schutz is a preacher in Florida, a successful pastor. He prayed one day. A man was giving him a fit in the church. He was trying to obey God. He said he'd get a word from heaven. And he'd go to the church. He'd talk to the men. He said he had some that almost were so frustrated with him. He said he got down to pray one day and said, God, I don't deserve this. All I'm doing is fasting and praying and reading. You're speaking to me. He said, and that same man is driving me crazy. I don't deserve this. He said, the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, Have you resisted unto blood yet? He said, no, Lord. He said, get back out there with the vision and keep preaching. Look, church, I hadn't resisted unto blood yet. There hadn't been no time in my life on purpose that I know of where I preach and end up leaving there bloody, cut up, or about dead. That hadn't happened yet to me. If I preach, I've hit my hand on pulpits before and bled on it. That's not resisting on the blood. But I'm talking about when men abuse you and scorn you and lie about you and fight a vision. That hadn't happened to us yet. So we are not above being despised and rejected like Jesus was. That's keeping you from being whole. Pray through and let God heal your wounded spirit. I'm going to say this and move forward. We are never to give another man or a woman power over our spirit. The only one in this universe to have control of our spirit should be the Holy Ghost. I've watched people, family situations, husband, wives, several different situations, where they let somebody get inside of them so much
that it really just drives them crazy.
And they can't serve the Lord like they need to.
I tell you, I try to love them, but every time I see them, I just... You understand what I'm saying? I'll tell you right now, I can do it. I love her, I love him. I've heard married couples say stuff like this. But every time she opens her mouth, it just gets me. Better find an altar.
Or that marriage is shipwreck.
I'll tell you, I love him, but every time I try my best, but every time he says this and it just pushes my buttons and I lose it and I say something I shouldn't, well, pray. You're wounded in your spirit because of another human. Let God have control of your spirit. It is the fruits of the Spirit that are to be coming out of our lives, not the works of the flesh. Yes, I know that takes praying and reading, and it takes the divine Holy Ghost working His perfect work within us. I know that. But pray and fast, whatever you got to do, God help us all to obey Him and not to let another man have control over our spirit.
Jesus was a man of sorrows. But He never allowed anyone to wound His spirit to the sense that it altered the relationship with His Father.
Jesus was hurt and wounded and sorrowful. We know that. But you still find Him talking to heaven with unbroken communication. Because that is the will of God in our lives. We look at another situation. I'm going to move forward here. Wounded by constant calamity. Those who have affliction after affliction, loss after loss. I don't understand that, neither do you all the time. You ever met somebody, it seems like one sickness to another, one loss of a loved one to another, one situation to another. I listened to the testimony recently of a quadriplegic woman. I mean, she dove into a swimming pool at a young age. I think she was 17. Went to the hospital. She laid there in that hospital. She said, thought would be maybe one day stay. She said, 3 years later, she comes out. She had no use of her arms except a little bit in her legs. She's a complete quadriplegic there. We look at that story in her life. And what was so far up the road, she ends up getting cancer. She ends up getting another disease. And she sat there. She said, one night, she lay in that bed. She said she would find her seven times, telling her husband. She said, she'd look at him. She said, she'd get angry sometime and say something like this. You don't know what I'm going through. Can you blame her in a sense? And he looked at her. I know I don't. But what do I do? And she said she'd pray and she'd come back and talk to him. She said, honey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have talked to you that way. I admire that maturity. And I've asked the Holy Ghost, God, work within me just like that. To where, look, I know I have a reason to complain, but I'm not going to. Look, Lord, I know I've been done wrong, but I will not get mad. Look, Lord, I don't understand the sickness. I don't understand the situation. But that's all right. You do. That's God. That's when we're confident in Him. And look, I know I look around this room today and you look at me. Yes, we're humans. And these are areas that we fight with. And I don't understand it all. There's times I hurt and I don't know why. There's times I may in frustration say something. Say, I don't, you better stop doing whatever it is. I may say something, but then I'll pray and God will ask me, who are you? Job's complaining. Not complaining, I hate to say that word. Job went through a lot. Hard on that man, I'm telling you. Man, you know, Job's in the Bible and we talk about Job's wife. Man, look how evil she was. She went through a lot. God help her. I forgive Job's wife. Lost 10 children. A lot of assets and all those things. But you know, I think it's Job chapter 38. After Job's friends and all his discourses. And we know Job really, when you read the language, he's not doubting God's existence. He's not saying God is the most evil person. No, he's asking God why, and that's all right. But I love how God speaks back to him. It's like ping pong for the first 38 chapters of Job. Job says something, his friend says something. Job says something, and this person says it. I mean, it's back and forth. But I love when you get to Job chapter 38. Where were you when I made and laid the foundations of this world, Job? I mean, God goes on for two chapters, and He gives us the best science lesson of creation that you've ever seen before. At the end of it, Job said, I abhor myself. Look at
he looks at himself and like, I can't believe I complained. Ooh, I'm sick of myself. You get down and pray like you should. You'll find you may not understand it. You may not like it. But God will show you some things. And at the end of that good old being prayed, at the end of praying through, you come at the end of that saying, God, you're God, I'm a human. And look, I need you. That's all I can say. That's where God wants you. Because in that He can heal you. My friend, I'm telling you today, we understand this about a wounded spirit. I've got more preaching. We've got time here today. But understand this. How can we avoid a wounded spirit? Number one, never offend your conscience. Walk in the light that God has given you. Number two, get a clear view of the gospel. Oftentimes, we have a wrong interpretation of who God is. I had a wrong interpretation of who God was for several years when I first got saved. Because certain preachers said certain things about God that the Bible didn't say about Him. And I got reading, I said, that ain't right. You done put probably 400,000 people in hell this week over that. Now I look at that and I read the Bible. We need a clear view of the gospel. Not what Derek Jones says. Not what Brother Glenn Jones says. What does the Word say? And that is what matters. That Word lets us know that He loves us with a love. That He has a covenant with us. Yes, He hates sin. But He loves us. And He wants us to make it and endure and to make it in heaven. What shall separate us from the love of God? We read the Bible and we see the express love of God time and time again. He wants us to make it. If God be for us, who can be against us? He wants us to make it, church. Another thing we need to do is to live near as we can to God. We often find ourselves spiritually weak when we're not spiritually devoted. We have a distracted devotion that oftentimes, that we say we are serving God, and that's true. That doesn't make you unsaved in this. I'm not putting you out of the kingdom for this. But you know you could do more. But yet we justify it, and I justify it, and you justify it. Well, I'm so busy. God knows when you're busy. God knows when you're lazy. God knows when you're tired. God knows when you want to lay on the couch. God knows when you got things to do. God knows. So when we live near God, just be honest with Him. Several times in my life when I found myself in an area or season of frustration, not understanding something, I would pray, and as I got closer to God, it made a lot more sense. Because God would show it to me. We look at this. The sheep that get bitten by the wolf are the ones that are furthest from the shepherd. Hear me. The sheep that get bitten most by the wolf are those who are the furthest from the shepherd. I don't know about you. I want to draw in as close as I can to God. I want to move in as close as I can to Him and understand that He knows me and He loves me. I've got more points to get over this morning, but we're about to end right here. I feel a stop along these areas right now. Brother Derek, how do we make it? How are we healed from a wounded spirit? Number one today, there is only one that can heal your wounded spirit. Only one. By His stripes, we are healed. Number two, you need to remove any mistakes that is causing you unnecessary sorrow. And there's more than you think in our lives at times that cost us and cause us unnecessary sorrow. You need to get a clear view of your own troubles. How many times do you make your troubles something they're not? You ever heard about the man? I'm sure some of you have heard this story. One day, it was back in the Bible days, and leprosy was prevalent. One day he looked down at his arm. Excuse me, I want to condense it a little bit. But anyhow, he went to the hospital to see his cousin who was eat up with leprosy. He comes home and a week later he sees a spot on his arm. He told himself, he looked at that, he noticed something. That looks like leprosy. I can't believe I've got leprosy. I was trying to be a good Samaritan, go there see my cousin. I got that stuff. He said, I ain't going to tell nobody about it. So he put a sleeve, he rolled down the sleeve over top of it. It drove him crazy. He didn't tell his wife. He didn't tell his kids. He didn't tell his pastor, so to speak. He didn't tell none of them.
got leprosy. It was driving him crazy. He would be short with his kids, short with his wife. Long story, it goes on for a while. Eventually his wife said, I can't put up with it. I'm leaving and I'm taking the kids. So he's sitting there at the house one day. He said, I've got leprosy. My wife has left me. I don't have my children. He said, I'm going to go to the synagogue. He said, I guess I'm going to talk to this priest. I'm going to get this straight. He said, as he was walking on the way to the synagogue, he stops by a well. He's sitting there by that well, and a priest walks by and says, man, you look down. What's going on? He said, I've got leprosy. I'm dying. My wife left me. I lost my faith. I lost my faith. I lost my wife, my kids. I'm going to lose my home. I'm dying. That priest said, well, I'm a priest. Let me look at it. He said, here it is right here. Look at that blasted spot. He said, sir, it's just a freckle. It's just a freckle. It's not leprosy. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, some of the things you call battles and trials is just a freckle. You've given it preeminence in your life so much it drives you crazy. It's driving your family crazy. And you're losing out with God. It's all because it's a freckle. It's not what you thought it was, but you made it something. You made it bigger than your God. You made it better than your wife. You loved it more than your children. And all it was something you were covering. It was just a freckle. He should have went to the priest in the first place. He'd have found it out. I tell you today, a lot of our wounds that we give preeminence in our lives should not have that in our life. It's just something small. And I'll say this, everything is small when you hold it beside God. Everything is small when you hold it beside God. As my wife comes to the piano today, this morning, and I'm going to close with this right here. How can you make it through your afflictions, or how can you have a healed spirit? Remember, your afflictions are just temporary. I noticed the other morning watching that sunrise come over the ocean. I already mentioned this to you. I thought to myself, as I already mentioned to you, there's nothing that could stop that sun coming up this morning but God Himself. I'm telling you, when it comes to your victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing that can stop it. Nothing. You say, well, Brother Derek, what if in this life God does not heal me? Bow your head and bear it. Because if it cannot be removed, one day every cloud in the sky, everything about this world will be done away with. And you'll get to behold the face of your God. But meanwhile, while you're here on this earth, His strength and grace is sufficient for you and for me. If you would stand to your feet all over the church this morning. I hope you listen today. I hope God is going to help us. I just want to be obedient to God in this altar call. If you're tired in body, just shake it off for a second. Just listen for another moment. We understand today that the spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmity. You've got to understand how important it is that your spirit be made whole.